Today on the Big Footy Podcast, we talk to the Director of Development for AFL Ontario, Mr. Morgan King, about the development of the game, its teams, its players, all that and more coming right up. Ladies and gentlemen, this is another episode of the Big Footy Off-Season Podcast. I am, of course, the Wookiee, and with me today I'm talking to AFL Ontario Director of Development, Morgan King. Good morning, Morgan.
Good morning.
I got all that right?
Yeah, you got it right. Did you say your name was Wookiee?
That's my Big Footy name, yes.
It's what, Wookiee?
The Wookiee, yes.
The Wookiee. Sorry, I'll say Wookiee. I just wanted to. I didn't know whether he said Lookie or Wookiee, so I thought I'd better just say good morning.
It's all good. So, look, we're talking. AFL Ontario is one of the oldest leagues, if not the oldest league in North America, as far as I'm aware. Is that right?
Yeah, it's definitely the oldest league in North America. It's probably one of the most structured leagues. You know, outside of Australia, I'm not to say that I don't know that for sure, but we consider ourselves to be probably one of the biggest leagues in the world, you know, outside of Australia. Obviously, there's a few, you know, when you talk about the UK, there's lots of different leagues all over the UK, but in Ontario, we have quite a large league with 10 clubs, and the league started in 1989.
When did you join the league?
I've been in the league for, I've just gone my third season. I've been in Canada for a couple of years and was living out in Western Canada and moved to Toronto for a job. And part of that was, part of the draw card for moving to Toronto was, you know, knowing that there was such an extensive amount of footy to be played out there.
You're an Australian, obviously. Did you play football in Australia?
I did, for sure, yeah. Sorry, just give me 1 second. Let's plug in it. Sorry, I just put my battery on. I didn't realise I was running low. But yeah, I play footy. I'm from Melbourne. I grew up playing at Yarraville in the Western Regional League in the last couple of years before coming to Canada. I played for Sunshine Kangaroos, also in the Western Regional League.
Nice.
The Footscray area.
Okay, so you're the Director of Development for Ontario for the Ontario League.
Yes.
How many teams do you have in that league?
10 clubs in the league with 3 divisions. So all 10 clubs play in the Division 1, which is the sort of men's competition. The clubs are predominantly from Toronto or the areas surrounding closer to Toronto, what we call the GTA, which is the Greater Toronto Area. We have 3 clubs out being Hamilton Wildcats, Guelph Gargoyles, and the Ottawa Swans, who are playing out of the nation's capital, which is actually about 4 hours drive away from Toronto, while the other two are probably within an hour's drive. With regards to the divisions, we have, like I said, Division 1 men's, which features 10 out of the 10 teams. We have Division 2, which is more of a, I won't say modified rules, but it's sort of, it's slightly modified. To a certain degree, but it's probably focused towards more development of new players and also getting older guys who, you know, once played but don't really want to play, commit as much. You know, it's probably like a Divi 2 or Divi 3, you know, in the
C grade, you know,
C grade in Melbourne, in Australia. They play less games and they play less numbers on the field, but that's Divi 2, and I believe there's 6 teams in the Divi 2 comp. And then in the division, which is one of our fastest growing divisions, is there's 5 teams. And the girls play on a modified size field, but obviously we're at the same time trying to grow that as much as possible to be on larger fields, because, you know, when the girls go down to the International Cup in Australia, they play on full fields. The girls actually play what's known as the 49th Parallel Cup every year, with the exception of, exception of IC years against the USA. And I believe in the future, the plan is to, you know, try and increase that to twice a year in the off years.
All right. All three competitions, are they all playing 18 a side, or is there a 14 a side like Metro League, or how does your, like, are we talking full ovals division, or?
Okay, so to give you a bit of a breakdown, in Division One seniors, it's 18 on 18, and it's with six on the bench. It's broken up that you can only have 8 players of that 24 who can be Australian. And so there's a limit, and only 6 on the field at one time. So basically a third of your team can be Australian. And the rest...
That's the top division.
Pardon me?
That's the top division.
That's in the top division.
Yep.
In Division 2, it's sort of, I'll say, you know, like, the most important thing with Division 2 is getting a game, you know, as opposed to having someone forfeit. So who's usually, as long as there's somewhere over the 9 or 10 player mark, it's will play. And they usually don't play over more than, let's say, 14 a side usually is probably the max. So it's probably a little bit more. Doing that means there's a lot more space, a lot more time for guys to, you know, get the ball and actually use it. And you know, without being tackled within the first few minutes or first few seconds, I should say.
Oh.
The women's division is pretty similar to that. You know, while they want to, we try to get them to play full ground as much as possible. In our women's grand final, I think, was played at on a full field at 12 on 12. It really is, for the most part, I'd say, you know, 95% of the year is played on a modified size ground, which would be, let's say, from, you know, the square to at one end, center square at one far end to the goals. So we'll bring out, you know, modified post, or, you know, kind of like Little League posts.
Yep.
Yeah, we'll bring them out.
All right. I had a question. It was right there. What's availability of, like, ovals like? Are you playing in parks? Like, the German guys, they mark out their oval with cones, basically, because they don't have a lot of ovals in Germany.
Yep.
How's availability for you over there? I know they play cricket over there, but it's definitely nowhere near as much as it might be in England or Australia. So how do you go for oval availability?
Probably one of our biggest challenges, Wookie, is fields. You know, I'll just sort of cover off a couple of the grounds. So we have a dedicated Aussie Rules field in Toronto, which is just in the west end of the city in an area called Etobicoke. It's at the Humber College South Campus. It's called Colonel Samuel Smith Park or Field. And that is a dedicated Aussie Rules field. That is the only dedicated Aussie Rules field basically in Ontario. It was a cricket pitch at one stage, and it was, you know, through a lot of campaigning by some people prior to, you know, me, it became a true Aussie Rules field. So that we play there, I would say, you know, a large amount of, that's where pretty much all the Toronto teams play their home games, with the exception of one whose home games are at the University of Toronto in the Scarborough campus, which is on the east end of the city. It's a smaller field, but it's still, you know, reasonable size and a good condition. It's just probably a little bit further out of the city, you know, but depending which side of the city you live on. Hamilton have quite a nice field out there that they play on. It basically goes across, it's two soccer fields, or could even be a couple of soccer, so it's about as wide, it's a bit more narrow, but it's a nice field out there. Then there's Guelph, who have a pretty small field as well. Again, you know, a lot of times you find in North America, teams play between baseball diamonds, you know, and the field could go onto the baseball diamond, you know, so it really just does depend. At Hamilton, we play at the Rideau Carlton Raceway. So in a racetrack, you know, the grass in the middle, that's where the footy field is. And that's probably the smallest field in the league. That field is also used for soccer, Gaelic football, you know, other sports. I think Gaelic more than anything else. So, yeah, so they're the probably, that's, less than five fields that we utilize, and realistically, the demand for field space in particularly in Toronto is very high. It's the fourth most populated city in North America, and realistically, you know, because we it's, unfortunately, unlike Australia, you know, we'd love to be able to use a cricket field, but in Canada, football is a summer sport. It's not a winter sport like in Australia. So, yeah, we do play in some heat, but unfortunately, I'd rather play in some heat than some freezing cold snow.
That's a very valid point. How many players would you say you have in the league at the moment?
I would say we'd probably be in the vicinity in the six. I'd say in the 600 to 800 mark.
Yeah, and what percentage of that would be Australians or expats?
I would probably go with around about, I'd say anywhere between 25 and 30%.
Okay.
Maybe 25, 30 to 40%. I mean, it's hard to say. I mean, obviously, you
Yeah.
don't know every single one out there. And some guys, you know, you have guys who come in and only play a couple of games a year, and you have guys who are really dedicated. It really does is a mix. But based on the fact that, you know, Ontario put this, we put the law in, you know, many years ago to restrictions on how many Australians can play, and it was purely about promotion of the game. Things and a level, pardon me, a level playing field.
Yeah, no, I think some there's several leagues that do that. I think they do it in Britain as well, to some extent.
They do, yeah, they do in Britain. They do in the UK. I mean, I'm fortunate. I've actually played footy in the UK. I played in the States. I played in Canada, and obviously I played in Australia too. So I've got a few, you know, countries ticked off my list. But I know in the US AFL, I believe it is nine Australians. You're limited to nine Aussies on a team. Which we actually, you know, we didn't do it this year, but the last few years, we put together a guy, Timmy Wilson, would put together a bit of a mixed team. It pretty much opened it up to everyone and say, who wants to go, you know, on, we'd call it the Big Bash, and we'd go down on what's called our May 2-4 weekend. It's kind of like the beginning of summer. This season, we didn't do it. Like I said, previous season, we went to Philadelphia. And we took like an all Ontario team, you know, down there. The year before that, we went to Chicago, and I wasn't on the previous one, but I believe they went to Boston the previous year. So it's been a really successful thing for me. My first year going to Chicago was a really good way to meet a whole bunch of people from the football league without actually, you know, prior to the season.
Okay, you were saying that you had a 4-hour drive to Ottawa, was it, for
It
games? Is that as far as it gets?
is. For us, it is. Ottawa's, we traditionally had years we've been playing 14 round seasons. This year we had reduced it to a 12 round season, which in turn, funnily enough, benefited Ottawa quite a lot, because instead of having to travel to Toronto, you know, nine set five times, sorry, they only had to travel, and they'd always get the same number of home games, but it meant that, you know, they could obviously really focus on a few games. So they won, I believe, one of three games in Toronto, which they traditionally don't win a lot. Although in saying that, they have improved significantly. But, you know, being able to have for everyone else, Ottawa tend to come down and stay, don't stay. They tend to go back the same day, which is a long day, you know, to drive down, you know, and then play footy and then turn around and drive home 4 hours or closer to five, you know, is a bit of a mission. Whereas, you know, the Toronto teams tend to all, it's going on a mini footy trip during the season. You know, you leave early on Saturday, you play footy, you know, and then you all stay at, you know, you get rooms, and we stay and have a good time in Ottawa, and then drive back the next day. So we kind of break it up. So, but yeah, that's the furthest it goes for sure.
Okay.
Well, I was going to say Guelph's about, to give you an idea, Guelph is about 110 kilometres outside of Toronto, and Hamilton is about 50.
So it's a fair hike.
Well, Hamilton and Guelph are to the west of Toronto by about 100. Like I said, Guelph is 110, Hamilton 50 kilometres. Ottawa is to the east of Toronto, northeast of Toronto, and it's about 400 and something kilometres.
That's not a bad effort. When I was talking to the German guys the other day, one of their teams is 8 hours away from the nearest other German team, apparently.
Yeah.
And it's the whole weekend gone when you go out there for a game, apparently. So.
Oh man, it is. It's funny, yeah. And believe it or not, like even when you're playing close, it's your whole weekend gone. You know, depending which way you look at it. But if you're playing, you know, if you're playing in Guelph or Hamilton at 12 o'clock, you know, by the time you've spent the morning getting ready and getting out of there, and I'm not sure, you probably don't know, but Toronto is well known for its traffic. And, you know, by the time you've played footy and you get back out of there at 12, you know, your half your weekend's gone anyway. We shouldn't say your whole weekend, but
yeah,
Ottawa is definitely a trip that takes the whole weekend.
All right. Your team's in Division 2, I believe, if Wikipedia is right, play for the Mike Pike Cup. Is that right?
Correct, yep. The Mike Pike Cup, the Division 2 Cup is called the Mike Pike Cup.
And so you were in Canada when Mike Pike started playing for Sydney?
I believe so, yeah. I think so. He's been there a couple of years, hasn't he?
Yeah. Did that have any effect on the interest that you guys get over there?
I'll probably say at this point in time, not especially. We definitely try to pump it up quite a bit, and, you know, and but yeah, it's not necessarily something that constantly.
Probably doesn't help the rugby. Probably doesn't help that rugby union's probably a minority sport in Canada as well.
Yeah, rugby's definitely more prevalent in Canada than Aussie rules.
it's not hard to imagine. No, what's your relationship like with AFL Canada and the North West Pacific guys?
AFL Canada is the governing body for football in Canada. To a large extent, I won't say we've got a bad relationship with them. You know, there's certain things that, you know, if you want to go for grants or certain things like that, then they take care of that. But for the most part, the league is pretty self-sufficient and runs on its own. It's not like they get, you know, we don't have money being pumped into AFL Ontario by AFL Canada to keep us afloat. We've been going since 1989, so yep. we're 25 years old, really, or coming into our 25th year. And we're pretty, like I said, pretty self-sufficient. We're always looking for new sponsors and that sort of thing, but it's really, it just takes a bit, you know.
Well, my understanding is that basically AFL Canada, these governing bodies, they're more or less an administrative support base, an organisational base, rather than a bank for the league.
They're definitely not a bank for us, you know, and I don't think they are for any of the other leagues. I mean, you know, they don't really have any real say over what anyone does. I mean, you know, I know that they've been trying to get a bit more involvement and they've had their ups and downs from what I understand. I haven't had a lot of dealings with AFL Canada myself, but I know that they're, you know, it's always trying to get better and, you know, but they don't have any, they just, like I said, an administrative governing body. And realistically, the only thing is that they are the ones who report, are the go-betweens between the AFL and the leagues should we want something.
Yeah.
But, you know, again, so that's, the AFL, from what I understand, is more interested in, you know, in junior football programs as opposed to senior football programs. And when it comes to that side of things, you know, that's something that we're looking, always trying to find a good way to get some junior football happening. It's not as easy as, you know, as it is in Australia, for example, but I know that in British Columbia is probably the best example of that. I don't know a lot about it in detail, but in the BC, in BC footy, they have the best, that's British Columbia.
Yep.
And sort of Vancouver area, they have the best, you know, known to have the best junior development program going on.
And they're part of the Northwest guys, aren't they?
Yeah. So in Western Canada, you have the British Columbian, I think it's, I don't know if it's BCAFL, but it's British Columbian Football League. There's four teams out there, or maybe five. I think it's four. You've got two teams in Alberta, which is also Western Canada, the province next to British Columbia, Calgary Kangaroos, Calgary Kookaburras, which is the women's part of that club, and then you have the Edmonton Emus. So, and which is, you know, about 4 hours north. So that they play each other quite a lot. Like the BC teams all play each other. The Edmonton teams play each other a couple of times. And you find with those teams in Western Canada is that they actually travel to tournaments in the US. Whereas you don't, whereas no teams in Ontario travel to tournaments in the US.
Oh, okay. So you guys aren't part of the, like the USAFL Nationals and that?
No. And that's something I would like to see happen myself. I mean, to be part of the USA Nationals, then if we were to form either one club, would actually have to, yeah, I believe, yeah, the mandate is you have to participate in four carnivals throughout the year, which is, you know, I mean, can be quite an expense. So if you wanted to do that, it would either have to be possibly at a league level.
Yeah.
Or, I mean, for one club, who's going to sit there and say, well, I'm going to, like, we play literally every weekend with the exception of long weekends from, you know, mid-May through to late September.
I was going to say, because the USFL, is more carnival-based, isn't it? Like, they're not a week-on-week proposition, whereas you guys, and we talked about this briefly, and we're going to talk about it a bit more in a second, but you guys have a more structured organisation. Like, you're more like a league like we would recognise in Australia. Than a casual, you know, every now and then we get together and we kick a footy type thing, which seems to me what the USAFL seems to be based on.
It's pretty spot on, though. That is, they have a lot more carnivals. I think the only ones that have a bit more regular footy you find are the New York ones down in your metropolitan sort of East Coast, so New York, Philadelphia, Boston, you know, and they're all in a very close area to each other. From what I understand, New York Magpies may even have like three or four teams in that area based on the, you know, obviously with such a large population down there, something like, you know, in the 15 or 20 million people, it's probably, I think it's the second largest city in North America, you know, they can definitely get the numbers. But yeah, for us, we play 12 games a season in Division 1. The Division 2 plays 8, and I think the women played 10.
Because I think it's always been one of the criticisms we get back here when we talk about international football is that they seem to be very casual get-togethers. It's just people kicking a footy, whereas you guys are an actual league. Like, you play games regularly. You have, you know, 600, 700 players. I mean, that's a pretty good effort.
Yeah, I think so. I think so, too. I think it's an I was definitely surprised when I joined at the level, you know, of participation. And, you know, like any league in Australia, it's much, very much largely run peers, and we always need more. It's pretty amazing to, you know, come to Canada, and even when I've had friends and family come and visit and come down to the footy, and there's, you know, loads of people turning up to watch footy and hang out for the day, because quite often we actually all play at the same field on the same day. So, you know, like you could have on one day a game starting at 9 a.m. and the last game's at 4 p.m. You know, and that could be one game to two Division 2s and a couple of women's games, and you get six games in one day. So it's a pretty, like you said, it's very well structured. It's been, put together over a long period of time, and it runs very well.
Okay. We've taken a bit of a shine to one of your women players, actually. In a perfectly legitimate sense, mind you. in that she was part of a genuine health competition in Canada, which you're probably aware of.
I am, yeah. I know you're referring to Renee Tong of the Central Blues.
We're a huge fan at Big Footy.
Sorry?
We're a huge fan at Big Footy, and we've got a very big thread that's more or less dedicated to her campaign to get here.
I wasn't aware of that myself, to be honest with you, until you had emailed it through to me. But I was definitely aware of Renee and her, you know, endeavours to win that grant. And to be honest with you, a very worthy recipient. She's a great girl. She loves her footy. Renee is one person that constant, like, is there week in, week out playing for her Blues. She actually also plays a lot of Division 2 footy, and I've seen her fill in for other clubs, Division 2 teams, to help make up numbers and still, you know, has a crack. So I voted for her quite a few times myself, and
actually
take care of the AFL Ontario Twitter, so I was pumping out some tweets to try and get her some support. So it was good to see she won. I wasn't aware of the controversy surrounding her, you know, main opponent, I guess you could say.
Okay, you might be able to answer this for us, but how big is barrel racing in Canada?
I've never even heard of it.
We've never heard of it either, I don't think.
I've never heard. I'm going to just have a quick Google of it now, but I mean, barrel racing.
In fact, I think barrel racing's international profile may have climbed with every post on it in the Big Footy forum.
It says here it's a rodeo race in which a horse and rider attempt to complete a cloverleaf pattern around a barrel, preset barrels in the fastest time. So maybe it's some kind of, it looks like it's actually running around. It's a horse racing event for rodeos. So
from YouTube, it looks like they just run breakneck speed at a barrel and try and ride around it.
Yeah, I think it's kind of like what's that? You know, what's that one in the skiing where they got to go around the poles?
Oh yeah,
I like the same thing,
it's like
but
that,
on a horse.
But on a horse. Yeah, well, that answers that question. How big can it possibly be?
I'd never heard of it. But I'm just reading here, it originally developed as an event for women. So
yeah, at the rate that campaign's going,
Northern Lights are the women's and North Wind is the men's. Yeah.
At the rate they're going, when they come down for the International Cup, the Northern Lights are going to have the biggest crowd size at any match.
I'm happy for them. I actually used to do some coaching with the girls a couple of years ago. So they're a great bunch of girls, and they actually really took turn. I went down in Dublin, Ohio, last August 2012 with the girls, and for me this was a phenomenal event. Like, there was 50 girls, so I actually had 50 or 55 girls from across Canada in Dublin, Ohio, to play footy.
That's impressive.
50 girls just from Canada. So there was also, in saying that, there was probably also 40 or 50 guys from Canada too. And there was two US teams, like a main team and a development team, and the same with the ladies. And I think the girls won the development team game by 5 points, and they lost the main game by like a couple of points. And it's really been, Canada has generally been pretty dominant in the, it's called the 49th parallel, which is the line on the, the parallel on the globe that separates Canada and the US for the most part.
Yep.
So, yeah, it was just interesting that, for me, I was kind of phenomenal, just a bit mind-blowing to be down in, a kind of middle America, in the Midwest, in this, massive soccer field. And just standing there watching 50 Canadian girls running around kicking the footy, to me was just insane. It's kind of like, wow, this is a bit different. But not different in a bad
way. No, of course not.
For me, that was just, this is how footy's, this is how footy's taken off. This is just such a great thing.
Yeah, absolutely. To finish up, how would one become involved in playing Australian football or becoming involved in Australian football in Ontario?
Yeah, the best thing to do is just to go to our website, which is www.oafl.ca. It links you straight to our website, which is actually run through Sporting Pulse. And basically, you can click on there and check out the different teams and where they and check out their individual train, things like that. It's probably, if you're coming from Australia, it probably doesn't hurt to make contact with a few different teams. I think everyone's always going to, do what they can to help out newcomers to Toronto. And, and if you're already in Toronto and, or, particularly if you're Australian, if you're and you're already living near. I guess the key thing is to check where the clubs train and what's closest to you. You know, who their sponsors are. You know, I guess there's different aspects of what might appeal to you and what might not appeal to you. It might even be the colour of their jumper. But it's just something to keep in mind for anyone else who might, end up catching this, outside of Australia. Always looking for new players, whether it be Canadian, Irish, English, Kiwis. It really doesn't matter. We're open to everyone and we welcome anyone. So no experience is necessary. It's very much, levels suited to any level, I guess you could say, with our different divisions. So everyone's welcome. So just get on board on the website and check it out. Just wanted to really quickly say we're always looking for umpires. It's one thing here in Ontario, even in Australia, umpires are hard to come by, and it's another shortage we have here, and we often have, players umpiring games as well. So if anyone, even if an umpire wanted to come over and get some work over here, you'd be more than welcome, and I'm sure you're going to get probably a couple of games a weekend if you're up for it. Finally, I'd just like to say, if there's anyone out there who's looking to provide, who'd be interested in providing some sponsorship, please contact the AFL Ontario executive through the website, or you can just email exec@oafl.ca. And we welcome any sponsorship opportunities, because as it said earlier, we really are, relying on our own fundraising, pretty self-sufficient, but some sponsorship dollars would really go a long way to helping us promote and grow the sport here in Toronto even further.
All right, I've been talking to Morgan King, the Director of Development for the Ontario Australian Football League, or AFL Ontario, and thank you very much for coming on.
No worries, Wookiee.